Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you can subscribe, rate and review the podcast on iTunes, it'd be greatly appreciated. Every little helps and all that.
Welcome one and all to the Bimbo Podcast, another glorious episode with me, Anthony.
And George here as well.
What's happening?
And that last week was fun, wasn't it?
Very good.
Good response as well so far.
Very, very good. Competitions and all. The podcast that gives. My podcast do that. Podcast asks you for shit, we're giving it away.
Think that'd be the only giveaway?
No. I've got loads of shit, Steve. So would I. You know what I mean? People from West Belfast get stuff for the baccalaureate still.
Apparently so. Well, any crack?
I took my tree down. It means it's the end of Christmas.
Is that the 12th day?
Nah. It's just sort of...
It's bad luck.
Forgot about it.
Surely you're superstitious.
No.
No?
Only when it comes to pool.
When it comes to what?
Pool. Remember I was telling you? Yeah, whenever I'm betting on it, they sent me money.
Alright.
Remember the first episode we talked about?
Vaguely. I had bad mics then, you see.
But do you know what it reminded me of, seeing you take a tree down? It's the end of Christmas. Do you know what else it's the end of?
As well, though.
It's the end of Bimbo Panto season. That's what it is.
Well, not the end of it, that's where. Say it again.
A Crimbo Panto season.
From the top at the end of...
Listen, it's the end of Christmas season.
So the end of Christmas Panto season that he was trying to say there?
Yeah.
Had to bleep that out. In post.
I've completely lost my train of thought. Nice, what I have. Yes, that's what Christmas Pantos. Did you see any? That's something I don't do anymore.
I haven't seen one since I was about 10, and it was...
Yes, we all remember. You got on stage and told everybody your
address. Did I tell that story?
Yes, we did. And I remembered it because that's what you're meant to do.
I don't remember what pantomime it was. I know Mae McFedries was in it.
Mae McFedries in every panto?
I wonder if she recovered from getting blast.
I know. That was mad.
Maybe ask her guest, see if he knows.
Shh. Aye. Work it in, Jared. It's meant to work it in. Grand Opera House. Class place. When's the last time you were there?
I was...
Opera House?
God. Was I there for... Yeah, I was there not too long ago, watching Grease.
Oh, very good.
I forget where these things are.
What is happened it, in Grease?
They've got Ulster Hall.
I've never watched it.
You've never watched Grease?
I'm joking. Was it good?
It was excellent, though. There was a guy running about, though, with like a broken arm or something on the stage. It was weird.
A wee broken chicken wing? Was it?
Really weird, eh? He was just sitting on cars and stuff. He was almost out of place.
Random. Grand Opera House, fun fact about it, it's haunted.
It's haunted.
Right. That's why I done my first public paranormal investigation.
Well, I actually done a wee bit of research since we had a guest coming on. And
well, that's going to tell you about the ghosts on the stage and all, but go ahead. Bore people to sleep, go.
Opened on the 23rd of December, 1885.
Christmas Eve Eve?
Christmas Eve Eve, aye. That's what we in retail call it anyway.
I think everybody calls it Christmas Eve.
Well, they don't.
Well, I don't like to associate with people like that. What else about it?
It was renamed Palace of Varieties in 1904, but thankfully they changed the name back in 1909.
Fascinating.
It was a cinema. It used to be a cinema. Well, for a wee bit, between 1961 and 72. And, like I said already.
And then the trouble started?
It was damaged by bombs.
Do you know what I meant to say to you? Do you know who started his singing career there? I was reading about it today. What year was it? I think it was in the 60s.
Danny Conlon Jr.
It wasn't Danny Conlon Jr. No.
Danny Conlon Sr.?
No. Pavarotti.
Actually?
Pavarotti sang in the Grand Opera House.
Who told you that? We know that.
Google. Google wouldn't lie.
Definitely not.
Wouldn't say Michael Jackson was dead.
Is this not on Wikipedia? Because people can edit Wikipedia.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, Pavarotti sang there. It was one of his first gigs. Nobody knew who he was.
One of the better tenors.
Just thought he was one of the fat guys on the stage. Although he was probably skinny back then.
So, lastly, it was renovated in 2006. And it's still what we know today as the Grand Opera House.
Did it ever get blew up? You know, Europa's like the most bombed hotel in the world.
The reason it was bombed was because it was near the Europa. That was why.
Oh, it's just a casualty of war?
Victim of war, whatever you want to say. Go tell me about being haunted. Scars. It's not Halloween, like, we've done that already.
No, to see like the back of the stage. Back of the stage is the most one of the most active places I've ever seen.
Did you ever go with your group?
Wasn't my group, it was another group. Nipra.
Did you go with them?
Who?
The group.
My group? No. I've tried to get into it, but they didn't reply to my email. How rude. Grand Opera House, if you're listening, hit me up.
Grand Opera House didn't reply?
bimopod@gmail.com. Do you know where the term break a leg to where it came from? Well, from what I understand, and you know me, I'm very factual and correct.
I'm sure there's a couple of versions of this story, but go ahead with yours.
Well, mine's just right, okay? Apparently, people say break a leg, so you end up in the cast.
I bet that's right.
If you break a leg, you end up in a leg cast.
A shoulder or something?
Yeah. And another fact, do you know who the youngest, ugliest director?
Is it our guest?
The man sitting beside me.
Sitting in the corner over there.
21 years of age, directing in the Grand Opera House. What? The Mecca of shows in Northern Ireland. Right up there with the Apollo and the Palladium.
I'm sure people wait for a long time to get into there, or maybe don't even get in. And there's our young guest at 21.
21, he's directed 12 shows and been up for 8 awards. Just off the top of my head, didn't even have to look at that.
He's quite modest, he doesn't like to shout out about his... No, he doesn't like to shout out about his, like... What do you call them, accreditations?
Yeah.
No, he's a quiet man apparently when it comes to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Walsh.
Well, what's happening, fellas?
Just don't help with the microphone.
No, actually, do. It could be good to have a thing. Go ahead.
Aye.
Well, how are you, Jordan?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
Aye, not bad. Busy season up for you, yeah?
Aye, flat out, aye.
No rest for the wicked. Christmas over and straight into...
That's it, no rest at all. Flat out, and then doing these shows as well. How are you, Anto?
I'm a box of fluffy ducks, how are you?
So
you know he look like there? Frankie's one of Frankie's sisters. That's very strange.
I'm sure we'll get some feedback on that coming.
Which way you I said.
So Jordan, for those that don't know anything about you,
who are you? Where are you from? Give us a fun fact about you.
Including us over here. We talk about you all the time, I'm sure. You've listened, so I'm sure you've heard your name dropped a few times.
That's it, definitely.
So tell us a bit about yourself.
Originally from Downpatrick and moved up to Belfast when I was about 15. Well, I was always up and down, like, but moved up permanently to Belfast when I was 15, 16.
And is that how you got into directing and acting?
What do you mean?
Hold on. So he was up and down from Belfast to Downpatrick, so that's how you get into acting?
No.
What? That's the worst segue I've ever heard in my life.
Is that when? Sorry, when was the word? Because you're already going to get an acting or a directing job in Downpatrick.
You'd be surprised. No, I was...
Is that not where your man does Cold Feet from, Jimmy Nesbitt?
Oh, we probably did it up
is
here.
Is he not from...
No. Jordan's cracking Anto and shaking his head.
I think you're thinking of the man... Patrick, what's his face? He's from Downpatrick.
Patrick Swayze is not.
No, not Patrick Swayze.
Same Patrick.
It's the other boy. No, he only does a bit of stand up. Like he's not. He's
alright. Patrick Keeley.
That's him.
No, he's from.
He went to the same school as me.
Garvaki. Is he not from?
Well, I don't know if he's from Downpatrick, but he went to school in Downpatrick, so it's basically the same thing. Like.
Did he not go to? What do you call it? Round near Port Down, Garvaki Road and stuff.
No, he went to Red Highlight. Like.
Let's just use the power of Google.
So Dundrawd, is that near?
Dundrawd.
Dundrawd south. Dundrawd
up
beside
the airport.
Paddy Keighley,
where he's from.
Paddy Keighley.
Or Padgick.
No, well. Do you really?
No, I don't know.
Do you ever see, do I remember years ago, he done the show in the Grand Opera House and I was on VHS. Do you know what that is?
Video.
Yeah.
A load of wrestling tapes on video.
Is he?
He's from Dundrum.
Dundrum, it was close.
No, Dundrum's about 10 minutes away from Downpatrick.
You can see where I got mixed up. Anyway, back to you, Jordan.
Why can't they leave, by the way, since we're...
Oh, yeah. How did you get into acting?
Whenever I moved up...
Did you move to Belfast?
Yeah. I moved up to Belfast and I was... I was seeing a girl and she done it. She done it and I thought I'd go with her and I liked it and then.
So you're a bummy boiler.
My missus is listening to this. Oh, yeah.
Get the rabbits out, make them safe.
Definitely have to take out.
She went to the drama anyway, and then I moved from Barney to St Malachy's, and my drama teacher, I'd done drama A level because it was the only subject I was able to do, and I was told that I was going to fail it if I didn't join a drama group. So I joined her drama group anyway. And just snowballed, and I joined another company called BYA, and it just kind of progressed from there that I've started doing drama. Yeah.
What's BYA?
Belfast Youth and the Arts.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think it was a new variation to bring your own blood.
I didn't know what it was. I loved drama in school. I done it as GCSE, but my school didn't offer it as A level, and yeah. I wish now I had went to, because I was actually going to go to McGee and do drama with me with my A-levels that I got. I was going to go to McGee and do it, because they were the only campus that would have took me. But I was all the way up in Legendary, and I was going with a girl at the time, and I was young and in love. Bitch. Flipping. Acting career.
See, a gin was a bad idea.
She ruined my acting career.
I hated drama.
I could have been you, Jordan.
I hated it. Like, I hated drama in school.
So what changed?
Hated it's a lot of essays, and only for me, like, and the drama teacher was dead on, like, and she's the reason where I am today is a lot of it's to do with her, and I hate it, like, it just
what's
used
her
to
name?
Sit
never said it.
Pauline Hughes, colour, I should say Miss Hughes, but, like, yeah. I directed her in my first, third show I directed my drama teacher, which was quite
what
funny.
Was that like?
It was awkward. First rehearsal, I called her Miss in front of the cast, and it was just no go from there.
Like,
but no, but I used to sit and look at Sky Sports in her class, and then I kind of got forced into doing an acting thing in the class, and it just snowballed from there, really.
So, apart from the obvious, as part of a large cast, what's the difference between being an actor and a director? Because obviously, the show that's coming up for you, you're directing, but.
Yeah. A lot more planning and preparation goes into it. I have the unfortunate job of directing and producing, so I'm kind of doing both at the same time, which is obviously
you're in your own show.
No, so producing you kind of have to market the show and
right.
organize the schedules and etc. But directing you kind of have to. We're acting. You're thinking about one person, and that's yourself, and obviously. A bit of thinking about some other people in the cast, like, but mainly yourself, whereas directing, you're thinking about 50-odd people and creating stories for 50-odd people and also getting moments. Like, you don't want people to be doing one of your shows and be on stage for 2 minutes. You want them to be involved as much as possible and making people feel important, you know.
And so what have you got coming up
then? I've got Footloose coming up here on the 27th of February to the 2nd of March at the Grand Opera House, and then I'm directing that on a minute, playing the part of Willard, and I'm in Jesus Christ Superstar in Newry. That's nothing to do with my company, I'm just in it playing Judas, and then I'm in a show in Lisburn, Oklahoma, so I'm looking forward to that. Busy few months coming up ahead of me, but should be alright, as long as I plan it.
You strike me as a Judas.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's a good quality or not, but...
So, how did you make the leap from acting to get into shows? Because what age are you now?
22, coming 23 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, look, you can count as well, folks. You should put
that
on your list of accreditation. you can count to 23. How do you... what way did you go about getting into acting? Do you have to, you have to apply for it, or do people come to you, or... Do you apply and then you become really good and then people start seeking you out?
Normally, that is a normal route of passage to go down. Like, people come to you and ask you to do it, but... And this is the gospel truth. I was drunk one night and I was getting too old to be in the youth company anymore, and I asked the guy who owned the company, is there any chance of you making an adult company? And we were out for a few pints and he was like, no. And I think he was being a bit condescending at the time, and he was like, why don't you start one? And me... drunk young 18-year-old thought I could beat the world, said, aye, why not? And I made the Facebook page and said that I was directing a show, and it's kind of just, it was a good mistake, because obviously where I am now, but at the time, the next morning, it was awful, like waking up, realizing that you've started your own drama company with no members or no staff or no nothing. It was just kind of hard from then, getting up on your feet, but we did. So yeah.
So no regrets?
A few, yeah, a lot. Should I say a lot of regrets, but mostly non-regrets. Like a lot of them, I don't... obviously you regret a few things that you've done, but...
No regrets about starting it up? Or?
No, definitely not, definitely not. Like I could have went to uni, I could end the university and stuff in London to study acting, and it was between that or directing, and I decided to go down the directing path.
That's pretty brave for you to do that. I know you were saying you had a bit of drinking and stuff, but at any stage, I mean, that could have went pear-shaped.
Yeah, there was a lot of times throughout the last sort of 4 or 5 years that it has gone pretty pear-shaped, but you just kind of have to, my family kind of support me a lot, and my dad was very sort of, this is your thing, you need to make something of yourself, and my dad started, like, he took over my granddad's business whenever he was my age, so he kind of said to me, look, you kind of have to do it, you kind of have to work hard for it, and it's your own thing, so get on with it, basically. And obviously, my dad and my mum have been my rock throughout the last, like, 4 years, and also my friends, like, I have a lot of friends supporting me, like, and they help as much as they can, but at the end of the day, it's me financially responsible for it, and you do take a lot of knocks, but they're worth it in the long run.
I mean, that's pretty good, because most people's parents are like, no, get a decent job, get a sustainable job, reliable job. The fact that he's pushed you to your limits,
yeah, well,
is pretty good.
They said to me, like, obviously I had a couple of offers for London, and a couple of years in a row, it wasn't just the 1 year. The first year I had an unconditional offer to study in London, and I said that whenever I got my results back, I just said, look, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. I don't think uni's for me. I'm not the most academically smart person. And my dad just said, look, do whatever you want to do, but get a job in the meantime. And that's whenever I started Carphone. Same time, yeah.
Have like a wee bit of a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing Footloose, right? I've been the
Footloose the musical.
Footloose the musical. I've never actually watched the film Footloose. I watched your show
Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. Did not know what to expect. And I done the same with Rocky Horror Show. I know it's going to sound really stupid, but I'd never watched the Rocky Horror Show. I didn't know what it was about. I knew they had the song Time Warp. I went into it blindsided, but it was really, really good. And I think if you want to go to shows, it's kind of good just to sit there and let the show take you. It's a bit like watching wrestling. You know, you know it's like all scripted, but you just sort of sit there and let the show take you.
You have to buy in.
Yeah. So yeah. What way, like, first of all, give us the dates of your show and give us like a brief outline.
So,
because I don't know anything.
Footloose, 27th of February to the 2nd of March, obviously at the Opera House, and it's the story of a fella called Ren who moves out of Chicago into a small sort of backwards town that is completely sort of Christian, doesn't allow dancing, doesn't allow drink, don't allow anything to do with music, etc. Because obviously there's a backstory where the reverend son died. He was taking a lot of drugs and drink and crashed his car and died, so he banned everything. And it's all about this boy coming to town and not coping with it. And there's like, that's the main story, but if you look at it closely, like, it's about Ren's passage into adulthood and his maturity, going from a boy in naivety and immaturity into that, and about Reverend Shaw's getting over his son's death, you know, and his mending his broken relationship with his wife. So yeah, it's quite dark in a way, but there is a lot of comedy in it.
Yeah.
And it's really good fun, like.
So if you were to give the equivalent of Northern Ireland, would it be like getting put out of Newton Abbey by paramilitary organisations and moving to Lorne? Would that be accurate?
Pretty much, yeah. I would go more getting put out of West Belfast and getting put into Ballymoney. That would probably be a fair representation.
Correct,
pretty much, yeah. It's what it is.
Yeah. And what about how do people get tickets and stuff for the show?
They get them via the Opera House website. So if Solo or www.goh.co.uk/Footloose, and there's over 3,000 sold already. So they're flying out the door, like, so.
Already. That's someone's here with
them. Yeah, it's selling well, like, so.
What, over a month away, month and a half away, 6 weeks away.
Seven and a half, yeah. Okay. No, six and a half. So yeah, it's selling well. Could do better, like, but it's selling well.
Well, I think it's this time of year everybody's scared to have the money come the start of February. Like, I do my whenever we do paranormal events, January's no go for us, but the start of February,
yeah,
where people get paid. You know.
Well, we done a West Side Story this time last year, only at the start of February in the Opera House, and like our tickets going up to Christmas were mad. Like, everyone was buying them, and then come January, no one was buying tickets, and I was freaking out because obviously the Opera House is expensive to do a show. Like, it's the only place in Belfast, it's the only place in the north of Ireland where you can make money or lose money. And we were going into show losing money in the week of the show, and then it just sold amazing, like 94%. We ended up selling, like, that's over 5,000 seats. So, yeah, we're sitting in a better position now than we were last year, ticket wise. So, I can urge, if you want to go and see it, get your tickets now, because it will not, people will not.
Is there any days that are really short on tickets?
Friday matinee, the Friday at 5:30 isn't, I've never done a 5:30 show before, so I don't know what really expect from it. Every other night, sitting at like over 800 tickets out of 1,000, the Friday matinee is quite low. So if you're looking tickets, get them for the 5:30 show on the Friday, and you'll be guaranteed one of the top band tickets for cheap enough, like, so, yeah. And
obviously, when people who don't go to a lot of theatre, but know the films, they expect to see something specific and maybe criticise. Rather than appreciate the changes that they've made in the show.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with things like that? And how do you decide what elements to bring over from the show?
See, I've only done really one show that, well, two, but Rock of Ages wasn't really as well known as what Footloose, well, I've directed Footloose before in the past, and I've never seen the film Footloose, so I can't honestly answer this question, but I tend not to watch the films. So like West Side Story, I didn't watch the film. Even with Grease, I've seen Grease once. I was in it there, and I don't like watching the films before I do the shows, because you tend to copy it.
You have a preconceived idea of what it's going to be.
At the end of the day, like, and as arrogant as this sound, it's not the audience's interpretation of the show, it's mine. And they need to accept that it might not be exactly the same as the film, but it will feature good chunks of it, but it's just my spin on it. Just like if you go and see Footloose and Shaban, it's going to be different than what my Footloose is going to be. I can guarantee if you go and see a show with the same title, it's going to be different no matter what. It's the same even films. Whenever they revamp films, they're going to be different in some way, shape or form.
But how dare you only watch Grease once? Grease
is my favourite film.
That's amazing.
It's not my favourite film.
It's Adol's favourite film.
Is it?
Maybe.
Why would you like about it?
Everything. John Travolta in a tight black shirt. Olivia Newton-John.
The car. Yeah, did you see she's only been given like a couple of months to live.
Serious?
Aye.
We'll put down
an episode, mate. Cut that out, Jared. but yeah, Olivia Newton-John was amazing on it. Like, from that one time I seen it, she looked
so
really good.
Give us the dates and of your show again.
27th of February, 2nd of March, 2019.
Very good.
Grand Opera House.
Keep an eye on the Facebook page, and everyone will be giving away.
Yes. Keep it quiet.
Put the bait out, reel them in.
So you said, obviously you've done a show last year. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've done more than one, but lay it out for me. So how far in advance do you have to start organising these shows? So for you to be ready here on the 27th of February, how far back did this start?
The first sort of, like, talk between me and Ian, he's kind of like the top dog in the Opera House, started on the week of West Side Story last year, so it's been about 12 months in advance, 12 to 13 months, so you have to get it booked in, and then you have to get all your marketing plan sorted, your artwork, and then you have to do auditions. So I was stupid enough to do 5 shows in between West Side Story and Footloose auditions, so I started the auditions in September, And the week after, I finished Producers in the second week of September, and I'd done the auditions for Westside the week after that. So we just were flat at it from the get-go. So we had over 100, about 130 people audition, and only we could, at the time, we were only going to accept 40, but due to the talent, we had to accept about 86. So we started rehearsing about October, November time, and it takes about 12 weeks to get a show up on its feet, and then it takes another 4 weeks to get it right. So it's a long
time. So the legs of the rehearsals, how often do you do that?
3 times a week. So they have a night.
For an hour? So 1 hour 3 times a week? Or
no, 4 hours, three times a week. Yeah. Oh, well, sorry, 5 hours on a Sunday, 3 hours on a Tuesday, and 3 hours on a Thursday. So Sunday's
that's
dancing.
That's after whatever you do during the day?
Yeah. So for a lot of people in amateur dramatics in North of Ireland are teachers. So they're coming after teaching a full day, listening to kids, then coming in and doing that. So, like, it is hard going, and you kind of have to try and motivate them in a way that, although they're absolutely wrecked, probably haven't eaten that dinner, they still have to do a job. Like, there's still people paying £30 a ticket to come and see this show. So, and at the end of the day, like, I know, there's families going to be paying £200 for their family to go and see it, and they don't want to see a half-assed
show.
Yeah, 100%. So, you need to kind of get the show up and running. Like, even I know we all have jobs and we all have uni and etc, but you kind of have to, you signed up for it, you need to put in the work.
What type of like pressure and stress do you come across? Like, do people pull out last minute, or are people fairly dedicated?
Yes and no. You get, like, every show without fail you get at least 3, 4, 5 people drop out on you, and then you have to recast, and that's a nightmare. Like, when, especially when people don't get the part that they want, except that they're going to be in the show as, say, a dancer or a chorus member, and then drop out last minute. That's a nightmare. We kind of have to, because the opera house is of a standard of a professional show, you're going in there being expected to put on a professional show, so my main thing is attendance. And unfortunately this year we've had to recast someone because they couldn't give me the time that was needed to play the role. So it adds stress on to me, because then I'm having to step in and play the role, and as well as trying to do everything else. But I have a great team around me, like Amy, my girlfriend, and my council members who help me organise stuff, and then Andrew McKnight, the stage manager, and Gary are like a complete rock, and then you've got Wilson and Anne-Marie who work for me, and they're great. Like, so they do take a lot of, I'd be lying if I said, oh, it's a breeze, there's no stress, but there is a lot of stress. Like, there's a lot of sleepless nights and worry. It's just because it's all money. Like, if you don't sell a show, you're losing £50,000. Like, it's scary. Like, it's really, really scary.
So, Jordan, what other hit shows have Belfast Music and Drama Society put on, and what other companies have you been in?
Show wise,
just before you started there, Belfast Music and Drama Society is Jordan's company that he started.
Yes, the one when he was drunk. He's 18.
Yeah. But they didn't give the name though. They just told people he was drunk.
Is this your equivalent of having, to use the correct term, a bastard child?
100%. Kind of it's kind of, it's the child that I didn't want, but I got. But no, I love it. Like,
and the child that you wouldn't take back.
No, I wouldn't. It didn't come with a faulty receipt, so, or faulty exchange, should I say.
So to ask Anton's question again, then, what other hit shows have Belfast Music and Drama Society put on? What other hit shows have you been in?
Put on, the biggest sort of top show that we put on would be West Side Story. It's like the most known, probably worldwide. Shows that I've been in, Sister Act, Grease.
Was that the one with Alexander Burke last year?
Yeah, I was in the professional tournament. No, I was in a Fort William Musical Society up in the Theatre de Mille up in Newton Abbey. Been in Rent twice, and struggling to think. Obviously Grease, the one you've seen whenever I tore my rotator cuff and was in a sling.
Oh, was that you on the stage?
That was me, mate, yeah. Stuck in the car. Oh. Yeah.
It was so funny, actually, because the following day, obviously I seen Jordan, or maybe a couple of days later, and I was asking, clearly that wasn't supposed to be the choreography during certain routines, and poor Jordan was sitting in the car by himself.
rocking it out.
Started
I wasn't good when that happened, like, really wasn't.
Tore his rotator cuff, didn't he?
Mm. Bad mistake.
To send you off topic, before we go back to the shows you've done, what was it actually like directing in the Grand Opera House? I mean, that has to be like a come to Jesus moment where you go, I'm good. I am good.
No, I'm not. Listen, every day is a learning day. Like, and I had good people around me. Like, I'm nowhere near, like, I never have once said I'm not the standard of directing in the Grand Opera House, but one thing I do have is a bit of drive. So I set myself a challenge and I go and do it. Like, whenever I first started directing, I had a 10-year plan, sorry, that I wanted to be in the Grand Opera House for my 10th anniversary, and I got there in 2, which is mad.
Amazing.
But again, that's all down to, like, Wilson Shields got me through the door, got me the meeting, and I done the meeting and got the date. But stepping into the Opera House, I've done shows previously in the Opera House, but you don't realise how big it is until you first step on that stage, the empty stage of a new set, whenever the set's been brought in, and you're like,
I'm sure it was a scary thought, thinking, I have to sell this out 5 dates in a row.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I remember going in for the meeting and sitting down with the guys, and they're like, I'm used to selling theatres 300 seats max, 300, 400 seats max, and going, flip, that's a difficult challenge. And then going from 300, 400 a night to 1,000, 14 times 5, and you're like, shit, what am I meant to do? You know, but stepping on the stage for the first time, I'll never forget it. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and just looking up at the ante, all the trucks coming in, and I realised how fortunate I was, because there's people who are treble, quadruple my age who do the same job as me and have never been there. And yeah, I remember the first show, it's quite a funny story, the first show, I was sitting in the upper circle with the audience, and I was freaking out, shaking, and the girl beside me in the audience, as an audience member, cracked up at me and started swearing at me. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just a bit nervous. And she's like, what are you nervous for? You're nothing to do with this. And I was like, actually, I'm sorry, I'm the director. And because I'm so young, like, I'm quite baby-faced, she just looked at me and was like, I'm so sorry. But I went and got her a drink at the interval and said, no, there's no hard feelings. But when the curtain came down, like, I'm not ashamed to say it, like, I just bawled my eyes out, like, cried for about a half an hour straight, up in the smoking area with Fig, just crying to myself. Like, everyone's down getting changed. I'm sitting crying, like, just because I couldn't believe I'd done it, like, and...
Just a massive relief, was it?
Massive, massive relief. So much stuff could have went wrong. Like, it was like guns and everything in that show. Like, it was just like a lot. Not with bullets.
I thought it was a
C-square.
Not with bullets.
Like, we had to get a gun from Nuri. Says it all, like, Nuri folk. But we were, yeah, so much stuff could have went wrong. And we had a few complete and utter idiots in the cast. Like, and the set was so big, it could have fell off. Like, one guy in particular, like, the set was about 9-10 foot tall, and he was told repeatedly not to jump off. And I am Connor Johnson, that's exactly who it was, kept jumping off every night. And this boy's about 7 foot, and he just, every night, and it was like something like Mark Henry landing on the stage. It was that loud of a thud. And just a lot could have went wrong with the types of him and, like, him in the show, like, but thankfully it didn't.
Is there any other shows that of notoriety that you've done you want to mention, or?
My favorite one to date was probably Rock of Ages. It was quite a tough.
Just had a feel good factor, didn't it?
Yeah, it was
from
unreal.
Start to finish.
Like, that first sort of,
it
was just rock.
Yeah,
it was one after
yes,
one. Yeah.
When I attended.
It was a very toxic environment to work in, but show wise, it's probably the best to date. Like, it was just on, like, the audience sitting there, and then that guitar playing that first song, and Matthew Campbell coming out as Lonnie. It was just everything about it, and Sean Harkin getting nominated for an Ames Award. Like, it was just amazing. Everything about that show was just amazing. Wilson's band, the set, cast were unreal.
Just everything worked.
Yeah, everything about it was great. I loved it. Now, people went and seen it and didn't like it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, like, but I mean, for me...
No way. You're entitled to the opinion.
I know, it's kind of like...
Well, my opinion, Grace was alright.
Grace was good, yeah. Like, Grace was great to be a part
show,
of.
Your show will be a good shout for me.
So, can I ask, right? I know the Opera House is not like posh or la-di-da, but you go and...
It's la-di-da, it's not...
When you watch a... like a show, you sort of have like, there's a bit of decorum about the audience. Yeah. They're a bit more respectful. They aren't as engaging.
Oh,
like, whenever we go to a wrestling show, whenever me and you go to a wrestling show, we're like,
Highland.
We're almost part of the show. Actually, one point, remember the time of the seats, one of the guys was like, it's alright, you're part of the show.
So we went to the show, and because of the antics of previous ones,
I had a different saying.
Because of the antics of previous shows, guys thought we were part of it. They moved to let us sit there.
So, what my thing was trying to ask, do performers like people to be engaged? I know whenever I watch the Rocky Horror Show, part of that is the crowd involvement. Would you prefer, like, you're hardly going to get up and start clapping and cheering. When I watched Rock of Ages, like, my foot was going along, and I was...
Yeah, like, what
there
like...
There is no audience participation.
There is, in certain shows there is, like Rock of Ages there was.
In Greece, the girls in front of you were getting
In Greece, Greece was a disgrace, like...
You need to shut up or you're getting kicked out.
Yeah.
And they were raising because they were full of drink.
Greece was, I'd never... Being on show as much as I have over the last 5 years, I have never experienced anything like Greece. Like, and one time I played Danny when I was about 17, and it was a car scene where I'm on top of Sandy, snogging the big of her.
Stop
it! Some woman in the audience shouts out, "I wish I was Sandy," and me as a 17-year-old fella bust out laughing on stage. But that one there, I was in the Opera House there, like. That cast, it's the best cast I've ever worked with, like, and same company I'd done Spamalot with the previous year, Monty Python, mm-hmm. Spamalot, Holy Grail, Ulster Operatic, and, like, audience members, like, putting their feet on the stage and all, like, and dry humping the stage and putting their face in the stage, going mental, and as a cast member, it's grim. It is grim being on stage and people are going mental in the audience and you're trying to do a show, like, it's great, and the likes of Rock of Ages, you know, whenever you're wanting people to headbang and headbutt each other, but the likes of Grace, you want people to shut up and enjoy the show, but...
So it just depends on the show.
But at the end of the day, these guys are paying £30 for a ticket, you need to remember that, like, this is their big night out for the month, you want them to enjoy themselves, so in a way, you kind of need to contradict yourself and say, listen, have as much fun as you want, but on the other hand, you're like, right, listen, calm down a wee bit, you're not in Thompson's garage.
People that you understand that other people are there to watch too.
100%, like, and there's kids in the audience as well, you need to remember, like, that whole thing with the glass being through it, John, or Mayim Fadish, should I say, like, that's, like, you can't do, stuff like that, like, we're not ratting on the 12th, like, we're seeing a panto, like, it's not, what a poor maid is.
But,
you're not!
But it's the ultimate compliment, because you're listening,
getting a glass of a kitten.
Sitting. No, not that. You're class. you're eliciting a response and a reaction from someone.
Yeah.
To get people to do that is very, very hard. So it's of a compliment in a way in itself, isn't it?
No, it is. Like, it's great. There's certain shows and certain parts that you can do that with. But there's other, like West Side Story. If people had been cheering and going mental during West Side Story, it wouldn't have been good for anyone, like, because it's obviously such an emotional piece, but the likes of Rock of Ages, I loved it. See, people going mental and on digging each other, it was great, but...
Mosh pit.
I remember in Footloose in the Opera House, in the Waterfront, should I say, we had to remove, like, a whole row of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was big emotional.
It was a popular film.
Yeah, it was mad. All hen parties, they weren't even the problem. It was just people laughing and all. There was a perk, I'm not going to mention names, like, but there was a girl on stage singing a real emotional song, and, like, people just laughing at her. So I just went, get them out, like, and... I was hard and get them out and
really runs into them at the moment.
Till bumping them down the stairs. I'm like, yeah, sorry, but
sorry.
So you said that you've worked for other companies and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a competitive nature of who does, like, the better shows, or how is it, like, when you're working
for me as a producer director and other companies, we tend to support each other, but with cast members, you see such a mix. Like, the same cast members that were in Greece are in my Footloose.
I'm sure
versa.
That if somebody got a lead...
You'd think there'd be a lot of sort of... That's not in that... There is a lot of dramatics. like a lot of divas, but not with getting, you get the odd one who won't do a show if they get the part, but, and the odd one who'll say like, boycott that show, boycott that show, he's not from Newry, but you get the odd people like that, but you just have to ignore them and just go, you know what to do, you're 25, grow up, you know. 25, 26, 27. Not throwing out any.
So, see, for anybody wanting to get into like amateur theatre, drama, theatrics, thespianism, whatever you want to call it. Oh, yeah. I know what a thespian is. What's the first thing?
A thespian is someone
who partakes in a lot of theatre.
There you go. Learn something new.
Dramatizations. Jared, go and culture yourself and remember stuff. Somebody trying to get into this, what's the first thing you should do?
Contact your company. Sign up. See when they, like, we do open auditions. A lot of companies don't, but we, myself, Ulster Operatic, do open auditions and let whoever wants to come on audition. Like,
so is this all ages? All ages?
Well, no. I kind of...
You said you wouldn't take that, though?
No. We'd need to get a couple of chaperones for him, but
I gotta be. I'm a GCSE drama.
No, we 16's kind of my limit. Like, from like adult society, my kids society, I take them from whatever age, from birth. I don't care. Like, as long as I pay fees. But no, I'm only joking. But no, 16 to death. Really.
So say somebody. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So say somebody over 30. And they have never acted a day in their life. They can start their
games. Yeah, we have loads of them. People just wanting a hobby. Like, we have a lot of women mainly, like, because you don't get much men doing it. Like, but like, say they've had a couple of kids and they want to get out of the house and have a hobby. Like, we've so many. It's great. It's great to get them out and get them in. Like, and I try and take as much as I can, but you have obviously. What are you laughing at?
Censoring myself.
No, we tend to take, which I try and take as many as I can, but obviously you can't have 150 people on stage. You need to kind of whittle it down somehow. Like, but yeah.
What's the best way to get in contact with you, like, social media wise?
Facebook.
Is mobile number 0754?
Facebook. Contact us Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want. Belfast Music and Drama Society.
That's crazy.
But yeah, Belfast Music and Drama Society on Facebook.
I'm trying to perform for you there.
Oh, sorry. Go on ahead there.
Is this
your audition?
Let me take notes.
No.
Footloose
is already cast.
Yeah, it's great cast.
86 people. That must be a logistical nightmare.
That's all right. It's not too bad. Like, Anne-Marie, the girl choreographing it, is just a genius. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
You showed me a video the other day. It was very, very good.
She's just insane. Like, honestly, and Wilson getting them to sing all and perfectly and correlate sounds great. For me, it's a bit of a nightmare because I don't see the chorus as much as I want to, so I kind of work with principals as much as I can, but I had a wee chorus call last night and it was great getting to see them all, but I tend to go to all, like, most directors wouldn't go to, like, music calls and dance calls and their scene calls. Like, there's only a couple I would know. Neil Carey's one of them, like, and he's one of the top dogs, like, that I would learn from, like, and try and go to all three to get to know them, like, you know.
He's like the Vince McMahon of production and drama, isn't
it? He runs it.
Here, tell us this.
Definitely not.
What's your favourite type of character to play and your least favourite?
Least favourite's an easy one. I hate playing, like, romantic leads, like, soppy, like, oh, I love you, but I hate that. I hate it so much, like, but favourite character to play is probably, like, the bad guy. The evil sort of twisted person.
You want to be the Eric Bischoff, that the Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I'm playing Judas, and that's like one of my bucket list parts. Like, and like, it'd be wrong of me. I'm already comedy acting, so I tend to get typecast in comedy roles, and like, I like it. It's good fun getting, and you're always the person the audience loves, no matter what. Like, no matter what, they're always gonna like the person who makes them laugh, aren't they? Like, so it's good that way. But I do like playing the bad guy as well.
Go ahead, Jared.
Do you prefer a play or a musical?
Play. I only direct musicals, but I prefer play. Yeah, acting's so much shouldn't really be saying that, but the acting's a lot better in place. Just get raw emotion out of it. Like, I seen his play in
a different standard.
I seen a play in London. I try and go to London a couple of times a year to do a couple bits and research and get ideas and stuff, but I went to see a play last year on the recommendation of one of my friends called The Ferryman. It's based in South Armagh during the Troubles, and just unreal. Girl from Derry Girls in it. She's brilliant.
What do you make of Derry Girls?
You know what? I've never actually seen it.
Really?
Neither
yeah,
have
I've never seen it. I've always wanted to watch it.
If it was called London, Derry Girls would watch it.
I've seen that Young Offenders, which is obviously
yeah, that's
based
class,
in court. Unreal, but never seen Derry Girls. Must watch it. I heard it's very funny.
The BBC one that used to be on.
BBC, brilliant.
Do you
want to
hear something
that's
funny?
So brilliant.
We were, you know, remember Billy Murphy in The Young Offenders, a guy who hijacks
the
bus.
The
right?
Pizza.
Yeah. So we were down at 2 weeks ago, and it was at Sinead's uncle's memorial mass. He was dead 20 years. And you were going to do the memorial mass, I say, oh, in memory of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What was the first name out? Billy Murphy. I went to the church. But see, do you know what I was going to say there? It's where you say you prefer plays because you can get more emotion. I think music, with me personally, strikes more of a chord.
Yeah.
Because music, to me, elicits maybe a certain emotion or whatever, so...
No, like...
So you're wrong, I'm
don't,
right.
Yeah, don't... A lot of people would disagree with me. It's just...
Personal preference?
I prefer to watch. Not really... I don't know. I love musical theatre, obviously. I wouldn't be directing it, but for me, a play is something real different, and... Like, the stuff they can do. In modern plays, like, I went and seen a play whenever I was in school called Punk Rock, and it was just unreal. Like, unreal. I loved it. And
what do you find the audience prefers? Musicals or plays?
Musicals. Musicals. But, like, the likes of Grease and Footloose and... Grease and Footloose and all the gad there, what audiences love to see.
Everybody loves the classics, don't they?
Yeah, it's a nightmare because you have to put them on. They're so boring compared to the other ones that aren't well known. Like the likes of Rock of Ages, like it's, Andrew, you've seen it, like it's just so funny, whereas Grease is not.
I think it's when people have that predetermined expectation.
Yeah.
And it reminds them of, you know, like their childhood or whatever. Stuff
yeah,
like
no,
that.
100%. Like I remember, like even my auntie, Margaret, she loves Grease too. So every time she gets a drink in her, she's singing Cool Rider. And that's obviously something that she grew up with, but I didn't. Like, I didn't grow up. I grew up playing football in Gaelic, do you know, in hurling. Do you know what I mean? I was not into drama. Like, I was one of them people who actually took the mick out of people who done that. Like, I was that type of person. And then, but see the friend groups and the friends you make out of it, like, and the social scene, go out for drinks constantly. After every rehearsal, you're out for a pint. That's just unreal. It was the best decision I made, was going into it, like, and... Yeah, it was great. I was always in the music, like I always played guitar and piano and sung, like, but getting into musical theatre directing wise was probably
I'd
the best
before
thing.
You did all that, I know we're coming back here, but what was your confidence level like before you did it and versus after?
Because you're quite irritating now.
I was bad, I wouldn't say badly, but I was bullied a good bit in school. I was quite small and it was really annoying. I was a really annoying person and I was bullied quite a bit. So my confidence was really low, really, really low in school. And not that it, like, I'm not one of these people like, drama saved me, but it kind of did in a way. Like, because I moved up to Belfast and stuff. And yeah, like, my mates in Belfast played football on a Wednesday and a Saturday. Went to rehearsals on a Thursday night and done the shows and playing football and then doing drama, two completely different friend groups. And you just get, like, nowadays it's still the same people, like, throw out the homophobic slurs for people that do drama, and, like, you get it all the time, like, but
I tell you, this man knows his football knowledge. I put it to the test 2 days ago.
Yeah, I wiped the floor with Jordan in the Champions League test. I named every
maybe Champions... do that quick fire day and see if
I named every Champions League winner from 1999 right up. That's weird.
He
like,
got everyone on too, didn't
yeah,
he?
Everyone.
He wrote them down. He wasn't Googling or anything.
It's impressive.
I'm just breaking them here.
I want to tap back into what you were saying there about the circle of friends and the relationships you have, right? What way does it work? Because you're never... Don't take the word intimate wrong, as in romantic, but you're very close with so many people for such a short period of time, and then you may not see that person again.
Yeah.
Because I know, I've worked, and don't know if you've done it, but you've worked with someone for a year, 2 years, you have a really good relationship, you leave that store, and then you see them again, and then you talk like, as if you have never been apart. Have you ever done that? Is that what it's like for you?
Yeah, yes and no. You get the people that are like that. Like, one of my best friends, Sean Harkin, he doesn't do all my shows. He was in, like, Clint Stacey Jackson at Rock of Ages, but he doesn't do all my shows. He does the odd one. So I wouldn't see him as much as what I would the other ones who I see every week. And, like, I go around his house, and it's just, like, you never left him. Like, but then you get the odd person who is in your show, then auditions for your next one, doesn't get a part and drops out. And then bumping into them is so awkward. Like, you're, like, struggling to make conversation because they obviously hate you for not casting you. But, yeah, it is what it is. Like, kind of have to get on with it and be the bigger person, I suppose.
But so, through the grapevine, what things have you heard? Let's put it like that.
Oh, there's...
Go, funny stories or mishaps, no names.
Funny stories. Well, we obviously, there's a big weekend that goes down in Killarney, the Ames weekend. That's the award ceremony down there, and a lot of stuff happens down there, like a lot. And every year we've went down, something has happened to try and like ruin the weekend. So like, we drove down, I drove the minibus down, and the girl drove the car down, the car broke down. So we were all sitting on the hard shoulder outside Dundalk while her car had to wait to get the tow truck from Glengormley to come up and get it. So we were 4 hours on the hard shoulder. I had the tricolour, a few beers in my hand, not drinking of course, but hope my dad is watching. But no, we had the cast, we're all sitting in the grass in the motorway just drinking, and I was like, this should not be happening. But stuff like that, it's just brilliant. And then getting down, and a boy, I'll not mention any names, but a boy was nominated. But boy was nominated for an award for me down in Killarney, and he didn't win, and he took it real bad and just drunk and drunk and drunk and drunk all night until he pissed himself in front of everyone, and it was 4,000 people in the arena, so it wasn't it wasn't too good.
Very often I'm gonna get to do this, but I'm gonna correct the director. It was drank, not drunk.
Oh, sorry.
He drank and drank.
Actually, can I do that again? Because I said piss.
He
this boy was nominated for an award and he didn't win, and he drank himself into an oblivion to the point where he wet himself in front of 4,000 people, and it was pretty funny.
Sorry, can I correct you there? He's pissed himself.
You didn't direct the Star Is Born, that's what he done on stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Do you know what I was it? I was expecting to bawl my eyes out.
See me kill myself now. Spoiler.
I think the virgin icing didn't in the one in the cinema, did it show you his feet whenever, you know, the fan?
Whatever. Yeah, it just showed you his feet and his fan.
You see, I didn't see that. The version I had didn't show the feet. It just showed us Gary Dorn's wee dog lamb beside
him. You guys one with Korean subtitles, right?
In your living room?
Via showbox, pay a subscription for it. But yeah, I didn't find that as sad.
What? I went and seen a wee man, and she just literally for like 20 minutes was crying beside me. She then went home and had got into her head that her dog was dying, so she cried for an hour and a half about her dog dying. Her dog was perfectly fine. But
it's crazy how things like that can resonate with people, isn't it?
Mm. What other funny stories are like? Has there been like, you were saying there about laughing on stage, kissing that girl.
Yeah.
Is there any other like stuff you've had to ad lib or, you know, just off the cuff on stage?
Yeah, in Spamalot, whenever I played Patsy, I was the guy with the wee coconuts, like, and I walked into the piece of set. I was walking off carrying a thing and just smashed my face right off the set, and the audience were obviously laughing. I was in pain and crying, like, But what else? Yeah, there's times you're like someone says something completely wrong and you're just laughing and laughing and laughing. The best one ever for me was I didn't know about it, was during Rock of Ages, and the guy, there was a big argument on stage, this big intense moment, and the guy, like, you did say that, and the door flings open, it's Matthew sitting on a toilet with his bags around his ankles, and he just, actually, he did say it, just came out of nowhere, I didn't know it was coming, and that, for me, was quite funny, like, they didn't tell me, it was, but I liked that, like, but, anything else, well, when I obviously dislocated my shoulder and tore my rotator cuff, that was pretty bad, like,
so on stage. That happened, what, the night before I came?
Happened on a Friday night at Greece, yeah, the guy, the three boys had to yank my arms back and tie me up, and yanked my arms back, shoulder popped out of its socket, and popped back in again when they tied me up and I tore my rotator cuff and couldn't finish the show, had to get rushed to hospital.
It was a jacket, it was bad,
like, it was so sore, and get into the hospital, and they were like, yeah, torn rotator cuff, send you home. The next week, I was in shop with Jordan, lifted up a tablet and got pins and needles all the way down my arm. Went back over to the hospital and ended up had a blood clot because of the tour. So I was, yeah, it wasn't good. In hospital for 5 days.
But during the show, what happened? Did you finish the show?
No, flip. See, the girl playing Rizzo was an A&E doctor, so I tried to go back on and she was very verbally telling me no.
Not loud.
Yeah, she made me go to straight to the hospital. Like, cause you only have half an hour after you dislocate your shoulder, apparently, before you damage nerves.
Really?
Yeah, so. I didn't know that either.
Have you ever watched the TV show Bottom?
Bottom?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, right, it's like an 80s comedy. They done their shows. Very, very funny. It's slapstick humour, but it's adult, right?
Like Faulty Towers.
What's it called?
It's like an adult version of Faulty Towers.
What's it called, yeah?
Rick Mall and Ed Edmondson. You know them if you've seen them. You know, guy dropped dead for it.
Yes.
Rick Mall, so it's him. But you should watch their live shows. They do bloopers, right? Like, they'll mess up on stage, but they keep it in the show. And it's so funny. It's very, very good. You should go and watch it.
I'll check
it
out.
Is that the way Mrs. Burns boys do it?
No. This is legit.
I'm actually your man.
Authentic and genuine.
Your man from Mrs. Brown Boys added me on Facebook the other day.
What one?
Rory.
Moving up in the world, John.
That's it. I don't know how that happened, like, but yeah.
Mrs. Brown Boys must be on the bomb.
What one? The old Rory version?
The original Rory. Yep, the original, the proper Rory, the good one. so yeah.
His character certainly hasn't been as big since that.
We'll start to wrap it up a wee bit.
It's an hour in already.
Don't tell you what's if you got like top 5, top 3, top whatever amount of shows in no particular order.
Shows that I've directed or what?
Do shows for you, whatever way you want, and what 3 shows should people go and see?
Shows for me, West Side Story would be number 1, and then Book of Mormon, Dear Evan Hansen, Wicked. I love Wicked. I know people are going to moan about that, but I love Wicked. And Spamalot, without a shadow of a doubt, Spamalot. Spamalot's one of the least known ones, but it's so funny. Like,
Countdown from 3, top 3 for people to go and see. Countdown from 3, so the third one will be
Footloose.
And the second one will be
Footloose.
And the first one will be
Footloose.
And when's that on?
The 27th of February. The
and
second one.
The 28th.
And the 29th. And
the 2nd of March.
Oh yeah, there is no 29th of February. 27th, 28th, 1st, 2nd.
There we go.
Yeah, it's not a leap year.
What's in store for Jordan Walsh, youngest director in the Grand Opera House?
Hopefully.
Hold on, I'm not finished.
I'm sorry, Alvin.
What's next for Jordan Walsh, youngest director in the Grand Opera House and owner of Belfast Music and Drama Society?
I don't know. The Opera House is
the goals.
The Opera House is closing for a year here, so
what?
It's closing for renovations.
Oh no, it's not.
Oh yes, it is. No, I'm taking a panto on tour next year, so I'm taking a panto to starting off in Downpatrick, going to Beaver for a private show and for family, and then going.
Now, is it Beaver or Belvoir?
It's Beaver.
Beaver,
we're not. Yeah, Belvoir. No,
I tried
Beaver.
The Robbins, and he wouldn't go.
Didn't want to get shot, mate. No harm. No,
I'm not. Robbins must
Well, it's just too small.
No, it's too small. It's too, not that it's too small. It's massive seats. It's the stage is too small.
Oh, It's very intimate.
Yeah.
Learn your terminology.
It's a very intimate.
That's twice I've had to correct you on this show.
Going to Portadown, then to Strabane, Coleraine.
The first one didn't make it.
First one, sorry.
Well, we're going to Downpatrick, Beaver, Strabane, Derry, Coleraine, Bangor, all around the north, so I'm looking forward to that. Like, but after that, I'm taking a break. So I'm going to go travelling, maybe. I have one more show booked in, and then after that, I'm done.
So, David Guest, give us... Have you ever been called David Guest?
Who's David Guest?
Oh, you don't...
Is David Guest a magician?
The Lothario.
No, who's that?
You don't know. You are a...
Is David Guest not the boy that was on Big Brother?
Yes!
No, I don't know.
He's into all the show. You need to go into your history on acting on Broadway and all that. No way you're going to make it over in England.
No, I wouldn't. I don't see myself going over to England anytime soon anyway. I have a lot of learning to do. A lot. Like, in maybe once I get to 20... shows, I think about taking a proper break, going and doing a wee mini degree down south maybe, and you know, just part time one, learning a bit more about directing. I'm learning a lot of other directors at the minute, like, so the more I learn, the better for me. Like, I'm not really arrogant where I think I don't need to learn. Of course I need to learn. It's like anything. But
do you want me to tell you about my acting career?
Yeah, man. Right. Go ahead.
So I've only done one show, right?
I know.
But I'm adamant, and I hope that you'll back me up on this. I had the most important bit of the show.
What was that?
So it was The Wizard of Oz. It was, what was the year? But 2005.
Laugh closer to the mic, Jordan.
But 2005, right? I was Uncle Henry. I was in the opening scene. I set the tone. I was in the closing scene. I finished the show, so I was the first and last thought in people's mind. That's pretty important.
I agree, man.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought to myself, where am I gonna go from here? Opening and closing one of the biggest shows in the world. I just thought, I'm gonna pack it in.
Retirement.
You got some advice from David Guest, you know?
Yeah, same. I learned a lot of him, to be fair.
Do you not think that that's a pretty impressive opening and closing the show? Doing the American accent. I'm
dead!
I'm dead! Dorothy! Dorothy!
Why are you shouting out?
Oh, Em, I can't see her! do you want a wee Judas joke for your play?
Yeah.
In case you try and walk right in. What?
Better be a clean joke.
It's alright, the one in your eyes, they're all mental. Anyway,
so, set the scene. All the apostles.
Yeah.
Having a big mad party. There's ladies of the night. Top of the table, wine everywhere, wine as far as the eye can see, food all over the place, animals running about the place, clothes on the ground, girls holding candlesticks, pouring wax everywhere.
Set.
Right? Jesus walks into the room. He goes, "Whoa! Whoa! Whoa! What's going on, lads? What?" He says, "I hope you don't think I'm paying for all this." And Paul goes up to him and goes, "Don't worry, Judas is coming in to a bit of money." Because he's a tight. He's an informant, Jared. I love that joke. You try and work that into your wee show.
Yeah, man.
give us your socials one last time. Say it slowly and clearly.
Facebook is Belfast Music and Drama Society. Twitter is the exact same. And Instagram's the same as well. So give us a wee like and a follow on Instagram and you'll be kept up to date with our stuff. There's a lot of competitions go on. One for the Belfast My Opinion podcast as well, guys. I'm going to give you two free tickets to the Friday matinee after this. So they'll be the only two people in the audience. So they'll get a private show.
Podcast that keeps on giving. How many podcasts do you have? Everyone asks you for money and donations. You're giving away stuff.
What do you call it? Patreon? That's what they're all on, isn't
it? You're saying.
So, Jordan, one last time. Footloose the Musical. Grand Opera House. 27th of February to the...
2nd of March.
2nd of March.
Yep.
Tickets on sale at Grand Opera House.
Yep.
Sure, sorry. GOH.co.uk.
www.goh.co.uk/footloose.
Anywhere else or just that?
Nope, that's it. That's all it is, yeah.
Thanks very much, Jordan.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, I thought I really enjoyed this. Thanks very much.
So have I. Thank you very much, man.
And for the other people listening, thanks again for listening. And remember to like, rate, and review the podcast. And find us on Instagram and Facebook.
The Instagram and Twitter is Bimbo Podcast, and Facebook link page is Belfast and Nasty. And remember, tell a friend. Tell them to listen.
There's competitions as well on the Facebook page now.
There's going to be a few competitions coming up, so keep an eye on it, keep liking, keep sharing. And we'll keep giving. Well, Jordan, I've had enough here. That's
H1T.
That's
how the video comes up.